To properly tell the story of the Ohio Phonograph Company, the first record company to operate out of Cincinnati, one needs to travel back to the beginnings of recording technology in 1877. While it is now known that Thomas Edison was not the first person to make a recording, that had been done in France by Leon Scott de Martinville in 1860, Edison was the first to successfully play back a recording. His medium was a sheet of tinfoil wrapped around a mandrel which took a tracing of a sound wave, and when he used a stylus to reproduce the impression, Edison could play it back. Edison sent the phonograph on tour in 1878 and 1879, and while audiences were astounded by the miracle of playback, Edison could not find anyone willing to capitalize his invention. The sound of the tinfoil phonograph was poor, and the tinfoil itself could only play back the recording about 5 times, after which it became so degraded it was unusable. In 1879, Edison set the phonograph aside and went to work on the incandescent lamp instead, as it seemed like, pardon the pun, a better idea. In inventing the phonograph, Edison hoped to one-up his chief competitor, Alexander Graham Bell, who had won Edison's ire in 1876 through inventing the telephone. However, it was Bell who quietly engaged the technicians at his Volta Labs in Washington to research improvements to Edison's phonograph. Bell's men discovered that using a wax-based media, rather than tinfoil, provided for a recording that held up to more than 100 plays, and Bell successfully gained a patent for the wax cylinder in 1886. Edison was furious when he found out about it and engaged in a new round of phonograph experiments in 1888, only to discover that Bell had built a better mousetrap. Bell sold the graphophone, which was designed for purposes of office dictation, to a group of investors who planned to exploit it whether or not Edison approved. That's when financier Jesse Lippincott stepped forward and proposed a patents pool between Edison and the American Graphophone Company. In the summer of 1888, a plan was drawn up to divide the continental U.S. into 30 phonograph territories where local investors could operate, and out of that agreement came the North American Phonograph Company, headed by Lippincott. One early tester of the graphophone was James L. Andam, a court reporter that worked on the long and complicated series of trials related to the New York Port Authority patronage scandal, which began during the Grant administration and was still going during President Cleveland's first term. Andam submitted a glowing testimonial to the graphophone's efficiency in dictation and transcription. And when North American came about, Andam was offered Ohio as a territory. Incorporation of Ohio Phono occurred on December the 6th, 1888, and Andam opened his office on 4th Street in Cincinnati on December the 15th. Newspapers of the time described the long lines of interested people queuing up on the staircase leading to the 4th floor in order to glimpse the new gadget. By opening so early, the Ohio Phonograph Company became one of the first record companies in the world. Ultimately, it had offices in both Cincinnati and Cleveland. In court transcripts filed in 1903, Andam claimed that he had been the first of the regional cylinder companies to open a phonograph parlor. He may have had some historic competition on this score, but his were among the first, and Andam left a detailed description at how he arrived at this concept. While the main business of Ohio Phono was in supplying business dictation equipment, sales were slow, and Andam began installing coin-operated phonographs in saloons as an entertainment. Damage to wax cylinders and needed repairs on the engineering-heavy phonographs made by Edison proved a drain on profitability, so Andam collected all of the machines and established them in a central location, first in Cleveland in September 1890, and then at the Emory Arcade in Cincinnati in October. Business went from bust to boom, as people lined up to listen to such coin-operated favorites as the Night Alarm. In 1890, Edison decided that he was sick of supplying pre-recorded cylinders for use by the regionals and told them that henceforward they'd have to start making their own. Some companies within North America never did so, preferring to obtain new cylinders still from Edison or from other regionals. But Ohio Phono jumped at the chance and soon began building a catalog of records so popular that copies sold nationwide to fuel the then strictly coin-operated business of recording. Among these were records by humorist Dan Kelly, whose Irish Pat Brady sketches proved so popular that imitations of the skits were put out by the Edison Company itself. In 1890, Ohio Phono made records of the voice of Horatio Perry of Fremont, Ohio, who turned 100 that year. Were any of these records to survive, and they don't, they would render the voice of the oldest American to have recorded, born during the Washington administration. Ohio also scored a hit with their records of the original Bison City Quartet, which, despite the name, were based in Cincinnati. Despite all of this activity, there was an essential problem with the phonograph business. It just wasn't profitable. Different factions within North American began warring and suing one another. By 1891, North American was deeply in debt to the Edison Phonograph Works, its main parts supplier. And as Edison was also president of North American, by virtue of being sued by them, he was suing himself. He soon stepped down from his presidency of North American. American Graphophone, never easy in dealing with Edison, broke away from North American in 1892, reorganized, and renamed itself after its region, Columbia, as in the District of Columbia. The strain on Jesse Lippincott began to wear him out, and he died in April 1894. In August 1894, North American went into bankruptcy, but Edison was paying attention. He had already begun to consolidate his phonograph interests into what became Edison Records, and was formulating a plan to put the regionals, like Ohio, out of business. But Andam was tenacious and had pull. In 1895, he managed to hire away a crack recording engineer from Edison's New York-based lab in order to improve the sound of his product, with spectacular results. This recording was made with Michael Brand's Cincinnati Orchestra in 1896. Founded in 1876, this band formed the nucleus of the first Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra.
Selection from the Chimes of Normandy, played by Brand's Concert Band.
Andem also reached out to the public at large, making client recordings for anyone willing to pay for the privilege, even though at that time private ownership of phonographs was new and limited to the wealthy. Henry G. Williams, as far as I can tell, was a press feeder, an operator and inker of lithographic plates. His Ohio Phono Cylinder, made in 1896, may have been a gift to a prospective sweetheart or for his own edification. Client recordings would become an essential ingredient in a much, much later Cincinnati recording industry.
Sweet Marie, as sung by H. P. Williams. Record taken to the Ohio Phonograph Company, Cincinnati.
In the morning, I am with Sweet Marie. Into me, my heart will break, love for thee. Every way that takes the shore, into sing it more and more, into say that I adore, sweet Marie. When the sun sets in the west, sweet Marie.
By 1896, most of the regional cylinder companies that started along with Andem were already gone, though some survived by escaping to territories that were never part of North American, such as Indiana or the state of Illinois. Correspondence between Andem and the Edison Company, which may be read on the Edison Papers Project website, shows that Andem was an extremely squeaky wheel. Andem's input was not appreciated on the Edison end, and ultimately supplies of Edison equipment stopped arriving at the Port of Cincinnati. The Cleveland, Ohio Phono office was closed, and in 1897, Andem was abandoned by his vice president and practically the whole board of Ohio Phono directors. Edison made peace with Columbia in 1898, which allowed him to settle the affairs of North American at last. Finally, in 1900, there came the day when, as Andem described it, a group of Edison's men came marching down 4th Street and put a padlock on his door. In 1903, James L. Andem spearheaded a class-action lawsuit brought against Edison by several former regional cylinder companies for breach of contract. Perhaps Andem himself was the only one among them who was not surprised when they won and were awarded $3 million, a staggering sum, in 1903. Andem used his part of the money to invest in other industries and to secure himself a comfortable retirement, which would be a long one, as he died at the age of 90 in 1930. So why have you never heard of the Ohio Phonograph Company? Certainly in a town where recording has proved such a consequential industry, one would think that learning Cincinnati is one of the birthplaces of the commercial recording industry would be major news. However, not very many people, even experts on recording history, know much about regional cylinder companies of the 1890s. Moreover, Very few of the actual records have reached us. There are only 9 known Ohio phonograph cylinders, and that's better than average. Many regional companies are known by none. So, no Ohio phonographs survive complete, but in northern Ohio, sometimes their ornate horns may be found in use as planters. The area of detailed research into regional cylinder companies is a very young one, begun only in the first decade of this century. Perhaps in another 10 years' time, there will be more to share on the subject of the Ohio Phonograph Company, Cincinnati's first record company. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Dave Lewis.